All right. Welcome back, folks from RAP, who have signed up in such a way that there's a bonus call included in your course. And this is the second bonus call. All right. Let's dive in. We've got just a couple of questions here right now. So we're going to start with Leslie. Can you say more about introverts? I'm telling a story that you're saying that introverts, like myself, may have wounding that allows them or us to show up that way. I'm introverted and love working with clients one-on-one. Is there something specific you suggest I look at here? Well, I think I'd need to know a little bit more, Leslie, from you, but I like the question, and I don't want you to get the impression that I'm saying there's anything wrong with being an introvert or an extrovert. I think we talked a little bit about this last time, but you know, introverts, is that nature or nurture? I don't really know. Did you grow up in a family where you felt like you had to be invisible and be quiet and observe more than communicate because you had a really loud sibling, for example? Well, yeah, a lot of times that is the case. Maybe it's just your disposition. Maybe it's in your DNA that you're naturally a more quiet person. Regardless, I think what we talked about with you was you putting yourself out there maybe more than just in the one-on-one environment and perhaps doing some teaching in groups. And so that it's possible there's some fear there that I think we talked about last time with you. So keep doing whatever I said last time around working your fears there. And you say, I'm telling a story that you're saying that introverts may have wounding that allows us to show up that way. So I kind of just spoke to that. It's possible, I'm saying. And then you love working with clients one-on-one. Great, keep doing it. Is there something specific you suggest I look at here? Not necessarily, because I don't think I'm getting the full picture of what exactly you're asking. So if you were here, I might dialogue with you a little bit about this, but maybe you want to post in the Facebook group and then tag me to further clarify. Sound good? Let me just sit with that. I'm looking at the question a little longer. I will say again that introvert, extrovert, they're all just labels. It's really not a life sentence, and I discourage long-term labels, which is why I don't use the Enneagram much anymore, because we tend to just grab onto boxes, you know, in the attachment world. Oh, I'm an island, I'm a wave, I'm avoidant, I'm the pursuer, I'm the distancer, I'm a 9, I'm a 3, I'm a 6 on the Enneagram, whatever. And it can limit us if we grab onto labels and boxes. So, as my friend Josh said, though, that some of these systems are designed to get you out of the box you're already in, and I like that, but usually human beings can't help but kind of tag onto labels. So I would just be watching the tendency to tell yourself a story that you're an introvert, and that means X, Y, and Z. That means I'm not good at talking. That means I'm not good at public speaking. That means I'm shy in groups, whatever. These are all like stories that we can stay stuck in and wrapped around for years, decades. So just watch that tendency. All right, next question, Riata. In the 180 exercise, lesson 3, where we are asked to embrace both sides with at least one example, is there any circumstance in which there would not be a positive in it? No. So you could bring me any experience. Remember, that's like saying, is it possible that at nighttime on half of the earth that's covered in darkness, that there's a spot of light showing up, or in the light when it's daylight out, there's this big spot of darkness? Well, other than shade from a giant sequoia tree, no, or a tunnel or something. By and large, what I'm saying is balance means equal of both sides. So equal pleasure, equal pain, equal dark, equal light, equal negative, equal positive, right? You cannot get, if you study physics at all, you can't get a magnet that it has two positive sides or two negative sides. There's always a negative with a positive, and there's always a positive with a negative. So no is the answer. And if you can't find it, Riata, and you're struggling to find the positive in a seemingly very negative experience in your childhood or last year or whatever, it means we're unconsciously blocking ourselves because we don't want to see it, because that would mean that we're now free of that issue. And some of us are actually unconsciously pretty invested in staying a victim in certain parts of our lives. So we got to be really honest about where we're at, okay? And that we do have, you know, whenever I do this work on myself, which is pretty much every day, I instantly look at, what am I getting out of the story I'm telling myself? So let's say you had a traumatic event at age 8, and you were like, there is no positive in that. It was totally fucked up, and it was like mean, and I can't believe that happened to me. Well, yeah, that part is true, but that's half the story. The other half is, how did it serve you? How did it help you? How did you grow and adapt from it? Who did you become as a result of that? And a lot of people want to stay small there, so they'll spin stories about, well, I became a miserable person. I just never got empowered, and it's because of that event. How did that help you? What are you getting out of the current story you're telling yourself? What are you getting out of being a victim here still? Well, I get attention. I get to have people listen to me. I get... it attracts rescuers into my life, and I kind of like that. I get people to feel pity or sorry for me. I get financial compensation for this, on and on and on, right? So we must look at the other side, and that's why this work is so confronting, because most people don't want to do that. And then they think we're blaming the victim, which we're not. We're saying, look, it happened, and how did it help you? That's what we're saying, right?
That help?
Yeah, got your voice now. Thanks.
Cool. Yeah, so actually I've been a bit curious about how to listen in and hear the victim's story, because I think sometimes it can be a bit masked. Perhaps it might, like, in my view, we can't help but tell ourselves a story about who we are.
So totally.
Like, either telling a story of empowerment or a story of victimhood, or just a story for a story's sake.
Okay.
So I'm curious a bit about how to hear the victim's story, because I have the idea that sometimes people think I'm telling an empowerment story, but it's really got that unconscious, I don't want to give up my victimhood. I like the benefits to this story.
Yeah. Can you give me an example, Patrick, of like something you're maybe thinking of, either from your own life or someone you know or work with?
I hadn't thought this through to an example, so I'll need a couple moments to just get my brain into that mode.
Great. Take your time. I think that would help us, you know?
Absolutely. I guess I could say that sometimes it seems to me that I'm doing something half-hearted when I'm... we'll say, like, I'm wanting to get over this pattern of ambivalence that I spoke about last time with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's times where I take that step forward, and I'm like, cool, this seems like I'm getting a bit more clear about what I'm afraid of, so I took a risk in this interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can look at the same relationship with the same person, and be like, oh, in this other interaction, I continued to not speak my voice, continued to kind of be a bit confused with boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I see both of those victim and empowerment happening at the same time.
Yeah.
In the situation.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're onto yourself. It's great. Okay, and you're wondering about, tie it into your question.
Yeah, so how do we start to pull out when that victim story is active? Even though I might be wanting to be, like, I might tell my friends, I might report to them, like, hey, this is how I was doing things different this time. Like, you know, where I tend to be a personality that likes to say no a lot. I'm like, oh, yeah, I said yes this time, and I got myself into this situation, and then more no's arose with this person that I've been talking to.
Okay, it's still a little nebulous for me. Can we ground it with, like, can you be even more specific if you're willing about what the no is or what the yes is?
Yes. Yeah, so met someone, initial spark of attraction, but followed with some strong no's. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's a normal pattern for me, though, where I'll be like, no, don't get involved in that, because the no came up first. So I decided to be like, well, let me follow the yes, and went with the yes, and more no's started to come up, and things that I'm kind of like, these are red flags to me. And then I'm also like, well, you know, core complaint stuff, let me look at why I don't like how this person has a lot of like interest in me. Like, I would say it's disproportionate, you know, like one of us is holding all the interest and one of us is holding the disinterest. So that would be her and that would be me that's disinterested. Uh-huh. That's the pattern, right?
Uh-huh.
And so that's where I'm like, okay, I tried something different because I got myself into this situation. Now I'm back to my old pattern of like, I think my initial no's were actually spotting some things that for me, I don't like to have that in a partner or a relationship.
Okay. And what's the, if we zoom back out, we kind of step back from this whole thing and you watch yourself, what's going on here? You're basically trying to decide if you want to keep dating someone.
Yeah.
Is that kind of
there had been a couple dates and it's like that weird ambiguous thing of like, okay, what's going on? Do I want to pursue this more? And I'm on both sides of the fence.
Yeah. Now you're also seeing this as a pattern where you will go out with someone a little bit and then get disinterested pretty quick.
I wouldn't say that one's a pattern because that's new for me. Usually I just talk myself out of it from the start and come up with reasons of why not to even get involved in the situation in the first place.
Got it.
So that's kind of what I meant by my initial thing of I tried something different, but I think I'm still playing out the old.
Yeah. So you for whatever reason, you reach a point in the relationship where you pull back.
Yep.
And you're wondering like, it's back to that. Is this wisdom or fear, right? Is this my intelligence operating here? Or am I just afraid?
Pretty much.
Okay. And what's the longest amount of time, remind me, of you when you typically date someone?
Oh, you know, most of my relationships have been a year to 2 years, 2.5 years. And so, like, shorter term things have only been in the last year where it was like 6 months, 2 months, and a couple dates. This is new territory to me. Usually I'll just kind of go in and be there for a little while.
Yeah. And do the core complaints that you have of them, are they familiar or is it a new different one each time that annoys you and starts to be like, oh, what's that?
It's a bit more familiar. And I know that it has to do with neediness. So there's the part of me that doesn't like being dependent and would, you know, rather go be solitary and pretend I can do this all on my own.
Yeah. But in your heart, you want to be partnered with someone.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. I can't remember how much we talked about this last time, but you're going to draw into your life what you need to own. So whatever is triggering you about these women, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Are parts of yourself that have been disowned, like your neediness, that you're repulsed by or disgusted by mildly or majorly, that you're like, oh, I don't like that, right? So the work is going to be for you to embrace that. Otherwise, it's going to be hard for you to have a relationship unless you work through that. You'll keep attracting whatever it is that you need to love in yourself so that you can love them as they are. And the irony here and what's cool about this is the more you do that work on yourself, your own needing, owning your neediness, let's call it that one, the less you need to draw in a needy woman to get you to own it.
Okay. Following along, this all makes sense.
All right. So you write your list of the, okay, here's the five fucking things that I can't stand about the women I eventually date, or that I just don't like, or I'm mildly triggered by, whatever charge it is, you start with the biggest charge thing, and you start owning it and stop pretending you aren't like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I'm at that point where I'm not trying to delude myself about, like, I get territorial and I don't like big encroaches into my space.
Yeah.
And then that's one of the big ones.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I hear you. One of my biggest fears when I finally got in a real relationship, was engulfment. Like, I'm going to be fucking trapped and swallowed by this woman. And I was like, no thanks. But I had to do a lot of work on dealing with that, right? So what are the benefits to being trapped and engulfed? How's that going to serve me in my life? And then maybe I am, if I got really clear and honest, it was the same, very similar needy thing for me. And for a lot of guys, it's so not okay to actually be labeled as needy. It's like, that's like one of the worst things you can like label a guy. It's so like emasculating for the conditioning. But it's like, yeah, I'm just as needy as any woman out there. And I have a lot of fucking needs and I'm cool with that, but you got to do the work to get there. So that, cause you're always going to attract someone, something that you don't like.
Yeah.
So you may as well start ticking them off.
Yeah.
Not as in pissing them off, but like checking off the list.
Yeah. I followed you on that. Yeah. One of the other parts of that like list there, aside from territorial, would be like, I always start a story that they're putting me on a pedestal because of the amount of like some of the attention, like some strong attention directed towards me. And that makes me really uncomfortable, that idea of being like, oh, I'm on a pedestal, I'm having a story that I'm a fantasy person in your world, and that when you find out that I'm not nearly as interesting and so forth as I'm presenting myself to be, or as you think, that's going to be painful for both of us.
Yeah. So you might as well pop that balloon soon, by telling them how needy you are.
Cool.
Right. Just be honest, yeah. Like up, especially if you're into growth development oriented relationships and you're into people who can hang with talking about self-awareness and like, hey, what's happening between us right now? Which ideally you would want a person like that, because that's the kind of person that's going to help you have a satisfying long-term relationship, because it's going to be work. If you can find someone like that and say, hey, can we set context? Like, hey, can we be really fucking honest here? I'm kind of an asshole and I'm like really needy and I'm totally denying that. And then I'm like annoyed by your neediness. And I want to keep hanging with you in a relationship, but I want to be also honest without being a total dick. Do I have permission to like be honest here that I'm judging you right now when really I know that's actually about me, but you've got to do it in a way that doesn't hurt their feelings and isn't mean spirited. And just kind of, you know, that takes a level of safety.
Like inviting them to say, hey, at any point, tell me to shut up and time out.
Yeah. And can we go slow? Cause I don't want to blow you out here, but I'd like an honest relationship, cause I'm used to hiding a little bit and putting my best foot forward as a little bit of a veneer to get you into me. Cause that's just my pattern. I hide like my shadow. Just call yourself out on it. You know, it's going to start losing charge. And then if I'm dating you and I've got you on a pedestal, that's going to take you down pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, well, and then it's going to weed out women who want a fantasy, and it's going to keep women who actually want a real guy.
Cool. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. Good chatting again. Leslie, I see you're here. I answered your question right at the beginning of the call. I don't know if you caught it. Yes or no? Oh, so what I'd repeat for you, and you can go back and listen to the recording. I was saying about introverts, your question was about introverts. I wasn't totally understanding the question, but I took my stab at it. So you might want to clarify for me right now. You want me to say more about introverts, and you like working one-on-one with people, but I didn't have the context. So I brought in context from last time around, you want to teach more, maybe speak more, put yourself out there a little more, but you're scared of that. So I was basically saying, take the label introvert or extrovert off and deal with the specific fears you have. I was kind of going back to that, but maybe you were wanting something else with this question. So feel free to let me know right now. Okay, cool. One sec. All right, just unmute yourself and then hit me.
Right. I think that was just my question from last time, actually, that we had discussed. But, yeah, it just continues to be one of the things that I'm working with as I consolidate and optimize my offerings, that I just continue to run into, like, this introverted thing that has me wanting to not be so out there in the world, and then coming up against the judgment that I should be.
Yeah.
You know, but we did that piece up around it last time, and so all of that still applies. You know, I'm really stuck there.
Yeah. Stuck in which part? Because I just heard you mention too that I should be out there, and then there's this part of you that's like, actually, I kind of prefer one-on-one work, and I'm. It seems like there's a part of you that's totally okay with the way you are and just doing one-on-one work, and then you're hearing shoulds from the outside saying you should teach, but I'm not hearing, in this moment anyway, a desire that that's what you want to do.
Right. I mean, there is a desire to do it, but the expense to me feels so great, because my body, mind, self doesn't really want to be highly visible or seen by a lot of people at one time.
Yeah.
So I'm at odds with myself. You know, I think the should certainly comes from how are people doing business these days?
Yeah.
You know, very visible. They've got a great platform. They're doing webinars. You know, that's where a should comes from. And I say, I want to do that too, but I feel like caught, that puts me on too much of an edge that, I don't want to do it anymore.
Okay. So, yeah. It sounds like you're making too big of a jump there then, right?
Yeah, probably.
What would be a baby step? Like, you know, it's ultimately, it's like do who you are in a way that works for you, that it's going to feel the best while staying kind of close to the edge of your comfort zone. So you're not just staying kind of small and flat and like plain and ordinary, unless that is fulfilling for you. Like, usually people that are fulfilled in what they're doing, there's got to be some level of risk. They're pushing some edges, right?
Mm-hmm.
You probably teach that to your clients. So it's like, what's the growing edge for you that doesn't blow you out?
Right. I mean, it'd probably be like as simple as blogging consistently.
Yeah, great. I would start there. And then you work your way up to a webinar someday in a year from now. And you do a web class or a Facebook Live, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do something very simple where you know only a few people are going to show up. But for now, you set that as a goal, whatever realistic time frame is for you. And I like that, blog once a week or twice a month. That's actually edgy, right?
Right.
It's putting my voice out there twice a month. Writing can be a wrestling match sometimes. So, because you want to set a goal that's going to push you but not make you shut down, which would be maybe too challenging of a goal.
Yeah. I think the thing, you know, that I'm really getting that's in the way of that, you know, is what I talked about already, but there's a bigger piece, which I can address in another question if we don't have time, but it's like, how do I blend the therapy work that I'm doing with the coaching work that I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten really confused of, you know, where one begins and the other ends. It's like, I'm coaching my therapy clients and I'm therapizing my coaching clients. You know, everything's kind of moved toward the middle. Yeah. And so I think you asked me last time what my fear was, you know, no one will come, they'll think I'm dumb, blah, blah, blah. But I've really hit on what my fear is that I don't have a lot of clarity about what I'm offering anymore, as I've gotten so fancy with, you know, wearing these separate hats.
Yeah. Well, if I were to sit with you for an hour and you were to give me a session, what would you be? Because it's ultimately who you are that I'm buying.
Yeah.
I'm just hanging with you because I like you, and I'm like, I want what Leslie's got, something going on that I want in my life, whether you're a coach or a therapist. So what is it that you're being? What is it that you're being that feels good to you? I'm just curious about that part.
I mean, I'm being a, you know, listening fellow traveler who will offer you feedback and point out, you know, some blind spots that you may be having around your internal barriers to success, be them around relationship or finance or business. And so, I mean, depending on what we've agreed to do, what we've agreed to focus on, you know, I'm still basically doing that same thing. I'm pointing out what I see and giving you feedback and reflections and saying, have you ever thought that this, or it sounds like that to me. And I'm holding space for, you know, either business battle wounds or relational battle wounds that have kind of implicit nature or are old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it sounds good. And you have the depth because you have psychotherapy training to go with, to hang with me a little deeper, right?
Right.
If I need to go there. But you also, it sounds like, can give me some practical advice on some business stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, does that feel good to you?
Yeah, it feels good to me, but it's kind of like I feel insecure when I'm offering my therapy clients coaching, you know, because that's not what they think they're there for. They're there for me to hang with them while they heal and take the time. And my coaching clients get impatient to do the deeper healing work because they just want the results, you know.
Okay. So, all right.
And so, like, making people mad.
Okay.
Even though I'm getting great results.
One, it sounds like you're getting a little frustrated in the process.
Yeah, I'd like to be clearer up front with them about what I'm offering, but I don't have the clarity.
Yeah, I got it. All right. Yeah, I was going to suggest that. But you're in a process right now in your life for whatever reason where you don't have that clarity.
Yeah, and I haven't had it for a while.
What do you kind of prefer a both and, right? Not an either or?
Correct.
Yep. And who's your ideal client? Is it someone who can do both?
Yeah, definitely someone who could do both.
So it's possible your marketing is a little off and you're just taking a yes to you're actually not getting to choose your clients enough and saying, look, here at leslieglenner.com or whatever, I take, the best of psychotherapy and coaching and I try to blend them together. So sometimes the work's going to be a little slow and deep and feeling oriented. And other times it's going to be action results oriented. Are you open to that approach?
Yeah.
And then when you start to get, they start to get frustrated with you or whatever, you can come back to your context and be like, do you remember what you signed up for? This is kind of what we're doing here right now. And my, as your guide, we need to be slowing this down or speeding this up. Are you saying you don't want to do that? Because maybe we're not the best fit anymore.
Right.
And being okay with letting them go, right?
Yeah.
Because what I'm hearing is you are clear.
Yeah, I feel clear.
That you want to do both.
Communicate that, yeah.
Yeah, so your clarity isn't the issue.
I mean, when you say it like that, I guess not.
So what's the issue?
I think the issue is more like giving myself permission to do both, even though I don't have a framework for it.
Yep.
Like creating the framework.
Yeah. I mean, Leslie, that's what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
The whole relationship school, the apprentice program, that's what I'm doing. I'm saying I'm taking the best of coaching and the best of psychotherapy and blending them together because I don't want to be a superficial coaching program, but I also don't want to be a psychotherapy program. I want people to get off their ass and stop talking and like take some action here, right? And then when we hit a trauma spot or a big, you know, mess, we got to like, oh, we got to slow this down and let's like be with this and let's see if we can get through this. And sometimes it's very body-based and sometimes it's very cognitive. And so I'm using who I am in my training to like help people. And people that want psychotherapy don't like me. People that just want coaching don't like me. People that want the both thing, it's a good fit. We're in business, yeah. Right? So maybe it's that you're really similar as me here.
Right. And I think that that's what attracts me to your programs is it feels like both.
Yeah. So I think there's a couple options here. One is some other time we can talk about, if you want to keep going here with me, cause I'm offering you the framework for that down the road. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like you're on your own here to continue to find your way with doing what works for you in a way that's in your integrity, that feels good in your body, that feels good in your heart when you show up for people, and you continue to bring in those types of clients into your practice that are like, hell yeah, Leslie, like, I just like who you are, how you are, what you're bringing here. I don't care if it's psychotherapy or coaching. I just want the result. I want you to help me with that because I like your style and your vibe. Let's go.
Yeah.
And you just need to be patient with yourself that you're in a process here. And clients that can't hang with that, it's time they go. And you say, yeah, I'm probably not the best fit because I'm still figuring this out, this how to blend coaching and psychotherapy, because that's what I do here in my business.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's been just confusing, especially because, you know, my clients are getting a lot of benefit.
Yeah.
You know, they stick around, but I'm just sitting here swirling around going, well, what am I really doing here?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I couldn't put it on in paper and writing.
Do you feel like you need to?
Well, kind of, you know, so the reason that I didn't get my LPC, you know, license in psychotherapy is because of all of like the ethic pieces and stuff like that. And I do some coaching stuff and I want to be able to do that too.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, I do have like a disclosure statement at the beginning where I kind of define like what I do and, you know, what's expected of them and what's expected of me. And that piece of clarity feels like it's really missing and really outdated.
Seems like it.
Yeah. And I guess like I only really need the clarity for me to write that document, but I feel like that document is going to give me clarity. You know, it's kind of like a chicken or the egg thing. And I don't know why I'm just sitting here in this, like, I need to define this so clearly.
Okay. Can I challenge you again?
Sure.
Okay. You're clear.
Okay.
You're just not clear on the how yet, but you're clear on what you want to do.
Yeah, that feels right.
Like I'm a psychotherapist and a coach. I'm not licensed. I don't care about that. But I can go deep and I can get results, and that's who I am. And you know, whatever your way of saying that is, right?
Yeah.
And okay, I'm crystal clear actually that that's who I am. And if, wow, let me sit with that. It feels good in my body. I mean, just sit with it right now. Like, is that true? Like, am I that?
Yeah, I'm exactly that.
Okay. So your brand and your marketing and your disclosure form needs to reflect that.
Yeah.
And my guess is what you get stumbled upon here is you get afraid of being judged one way or the other, or there's some other fears involved around other people that are jamming you up a little bit.
Yeah.
So what is it? What are you afraid of? Like owning this, like if you really own this, what are you afraid of? Who's going to judge you? Who's going to think negatively of you? What's going to happen? What's the bad thing?
I mean, you know, one of the things that's popping up that feels kind of surface layer, but is like the fear of, you know, being sued. Like I had a threat of a lawsuit brought against me from something, you know, I had a contract and I got to stand behind it, but it cost me a lot of time and money and like stomach acid,
yeah,
you know, to deal with. So there's just this, and my father was a lawyer, you know, I was raised contracts are everything. And, you know, that piece, like, I want to just make sure that I'm in the clear of that what I'm offering is what I'm giving. And, you know, I can stand behind it. And when I have this murkiness, it makes it challenging for me to stand behind it.
Okay. So one of the fears I'd be working with you on would be to clear that past negative experience and to see again how it helped you to get to a place of, man, I'm so fucking grateful that that lawsuit happened. Holy shit. I have no negative energy toward that person or that event. And I'm just like, that was really good training for me. That's where you need to get to with that memory.
Yeah.
And if you genuinely get there, you'll be less afraid moving forward of legal stuff, because legal stuff just might be a part of life. But also what's going to help you is deepening your own self-trust in who you are and what you stand for, which is psychotherapy and coaching. Like, nope, this is who I am. And the more each day is like a meditation almost to keep owning that and trying that on and keep practicing that in your own quiet way, blogging once a month, whatever it is, this is you. That's going to also help, is just the daily rigor of owning it.
Yeah.
And then as fears come up, like clients will go away, I'll lose money, people won't want to work with me, they're judging my rates, you know, whatever. Work with those.
Yep. I hear ya. I can see my first blog right now.
Sweet.
Why psychotherapy and coaching? What is it?
Yeah.
That'll help me.
Yeah, there you go. You keep articulating why that matters to you. And then you're going to be able to like sell other people on that. They're going to be like, oh, that makes so much sense, Leslie. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. Is that helpful?
That's helpful.
Sweet.
Thanks.
Yeah. Good to hang with you again.
Likewise.
Sweet. All right. I don't think there's anything else. Anyone else? We got a couple answered here and then a couple in the document that was sent in ahead of time. So, all right. If there's anything else, I'll hang. If not, let's call it. So I think we have one more call after this, I think, on class 9 stuff. Okay. Seeing and hearing nothing then. All right, guys. Thanks for joining me. Good to hang with you again. And I'll put this recording up by tomorrow for you. Yep, you got it. Okay. See you guys.